Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, there's a great new book out that's coming out, Medgar and Murley. And it's something that everybody needs to know about, everybody needs to read. And Joy Reid is here with us, host of MSNBC's The Read Out and the author of Medgar and Murley. Joy, how are you?
Randy, it's so great to be here. I'm wonderful.
Hey, thank you so much for not only taking the time today, but also for this exceptional writing that has taken a long time, right?
It was a good 2.5 years of research and work and research and writing. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of work, but it was a joy to do it.
Yeah, it's it's such an important subject. It's been 60 years since civil rights activist Medgar Evers was gunned down in front of his Mississippi home while his 3 children and wife, Murley, were feet away. And this woman, Murley, she is incredible. I mean, she has seen everything, and she just kept going, didn't she?
She absolutely did. I mean, you think about being a 31-year-old woman with 3 small children, 9, 8, and 3, who were all traumatized by seeing their dad, bleeding in front of them, trying to drag himself into the house and screaming and hearing their mother screaming. And, she really picked herself up from everything from, what she very openly talked about, deep depression. She had 11 years with this man that she's still in love with. If you talk with Ms. Murley today, she'll tell you that this man was the love of her life. And she knew it would end this way, And so when it did, it was so heartbreaking and enraging to her. And she felt responsible not just to make sure those children were cared for, but that his legacy was cared for. And she truly is an American hero who ended up being the leader, national leader of the NAACP. So she's got a great story and an iconic story and just is a wonderful person.
Absolutely. A great subject to write about, certainly. We're talking to Joy Ann Reid here on the National Defense, host of MSNBC's The Readout and author of Medgar and Murley. And why isn't this story as well known as other civil rights cases?
I think in part just because of the timing of when Medgar Evers died. This is a man who, I think really poignant to your audience, was a national hero. He'd served in World War II in the infantry. He had been as part of the Red Ball Express, which was the transportation corps. He'd served in Belgium as well, in Normandy Beach. He'd done all of the things, right? And it was one of the reasons, I think, that President Kennedy connected with him, that they had that war service in common. In fact, when he was assassinated, the first person that President Kennedy handed a copy of his promised civil rights bill to was Murley.
Oh, wow.
As she and her children visited the White House. And he is the one who made it possible for Medgar to be buried at Arlington Cemetery. It was President Kennedy who ordered that. But I think what happened was that Kennedy himself was assassinated months after that. The March on Washington, not long before that, happened that August. The bombing of the church in Birmingham and killing 4 little girls. That year was so violent. And there were just so many violent, things that happened, culminating in the assassination of the president, that I think events just overtook Medgar's, the knowledge and memory of Medgar.
Yeah, and yet, whenever you think about it or see a news clip of that heinous act, I mean, it just shocks you. I mean, it just to the core that somebody could be that full of hate. And then it took what, Joanne, 30 years to bring the assassin to justice?
Yeah, and it is one of the sort of great ironies of, Rachel Maddow writes about this a lot, and she writes about it in her new book as well, that, there's a lot of contradictions in that era in the 1940s, which was, an heroic era for this country in many ways. Byron Dillon Beckwith was also a World War II veteran, and he had the ability, trained by our military, to take that sniper shot from across the street. And, what I interviewed some of the people who lived on the block who were children at the time, and they made a point that I hadn't really, and for whatever reason, I hadn't really thought about, which was that when this man killed Medgar Evers in front of his family, he also, in many ways, assassinated the childhoods of every child on that block. They all knew Medgar. He was the fun dad on the block. He was the dad who would throw the football because he was a football player. So he would play football with the boys on the block. he was the one who would throw the kid, the boys into the car, because he didn't do a normal 9-to-5. He had sort of a different kind of schedule. So he would take all the kids and throw them in his car and take them to see a drive-in movie. You know, he was the fun dad, and they couldn't believe it. And so as children, also when the Evers moved away, that means their friends moved away. So it broke up this very tight-knit block. And I think that that's one of the things that we forget is these were people, these are all human beings, and that we kind of think of people as icons and we take away their humanity.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I wanted to do with this book was to put the humanity back into these stories of civil rights. These weren't supermen from another planet. They were just regular people.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We're talking to Joy Ann Reed here in the National Defense, the new book, Medgar and Murley. And so when you approached the family initially about writing the book, did they take to it right away, or was there some resistance? How did that go?
I think there was some resistance. I mean, Murley Evers Williams has written two wonderful biographies, which I read and quote, from in the book as well. Medgar Evers, she had helped Manning Marable, who's a great, the late, great Manning Marable, compile his papers into a book. So she'd done biographies. And at first, it's interesting, when she first told me and just sort of expressed this sort of love story, we just got into a conversation about Medgar, and I said to her, you should write about this. This is what you should write about. It's just this love story. And she said, oh, no, I've written two books. I'm not writing another book. And when I thought, I want to do it, I think somebody should hear this incredible, intense love, that she feels and read this love story. I did approach the family, and it took a little bit for them to think about it because, their mom is 90. She's now 91. Right. You know what I mean? They're like, they weren't sure she wants to relive it. And it was really hard getting her to have to relive, especially that day. She was so joyful talking about her grandma and her aunt and how she grew up and her friends and the good parts of her life and her love for Medgar. But talking about reliving the assassination was hard for her. And I didn't want to put her through that. So
yeah.
This whole thing was very difficult, to really do. And even writing it was difficult because once I'd really gotten to know these people, all these characters, all these humans, it was very hard to write about their pain. So I think the whole process was difficult. And I know it was difficult for the family. But the good news is they are happy with the book. Miss Murley, she was my most important critic. I needed her to like the book.
Sure. Yeah, right.
It would have been a total failure.
Right.
But she's happy. If she's happy, I'm happy.
Well, and, it's interesting that, and not surprising at all, after the assassination, she was angry and hateful. And it took her a while to overcome that, right?
Absolutely. And I think, it's a thing with women that, women are never supposed to be angry. Women are always supposed to be pretty and full of grace. And she had to confront it, especially in that era. Think about it. She was a 1950s housewife. Mm. And then he's killed in 1963. In that era, there were so many more constraints on the way women could be,
let alone
black women, of
right.
how you could present yourself. And she didn't have a model for what she was supposed to do. She was the first nationally known civil rights widow. Most of the black women whose husbands were being assassinated, shot in the face, shot to death, they would just sort of disappear into the ether.
Right.
When her husband was killed, she walked out the door, and Dan Rather is standing there with the CBS News crew.
Oh, wow.
She had to figure out in that moment, right, what to do. She was the first one that had a national, that her husband had a national profile. So she walks out the door, and there's news crew and police and her neighbors,
wow.
and they're all standing there. And in that moment, she had to figure out what to do. And she's 31 years old and grieving and angry. And she said what she really wanted to do was run inside, get one of Medgar's many, many guns, and come out there and just mow everyone down.
Right. right. Yeah.
So, absolutely. He wasn't Dr. King. He had guns.
Yeah, right. We're talking to Joy Ann Reed here, the National Defense, her new book, Medgar and Murley. So in the process of writing this, what did you find out about yourself?
That's a great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. I think one of the things that I found out is how much I actually really do love and appreciate the American South. And that's an odd thing to say, I think, for a black person, because the South is where our pain really
right.
comes from in many ways. It's where black people were incarcerated for, 250 some odd years, and then for another 100 years of Jim Crow. But the resilience of the people of the South, the resilience of black folks from the South is like nothing else.
Yeah.
Their ability to withstand horror and to still have dignity is unlike anything in this country. And I came to really love Jackson and the people there and the people in rural Mississippi. And it gave me a deep respect. You know, there's a sense that it's the people who moved. It's the great migration black folk who are the heroic or the smartest ones because they got the hell out of there. And why would you stay? Right. What a horrible way to live. But the people who stayed have a strength and have a dignity, an inherent dignity that is really deeply impressive. I mean, these are the descendants of the people who built America. And they're still here, and they're still fighting, and they're still in the struggle, and they're still getting an incredible pushback to the the execution of their rights, the violence against them, the state violence, just everything is sort of built against them. But they still are standing, and I have deep respect for that.
That's incredible. What a great time for this book to come out. It's called Medgar and Merle. Joyanne Reed, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for writing this, and just continued great success.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.